This morning we're going to talk about recess. One of my favorite memories growing up was not school, well, school, but recess at school. And when you think about it, have you ever watched kids at recess? Just go to the school sometime and just watch them. They have all this different kind of equipment. They have balls, they have swings, they have all these different things. But what really makes recess enjoyable for a kid? Huh?
Friends.
I mean, if you think about it, friends are what really makes recess enjoyable. And there is nothing more sad than being that new kid that comes in and going to recess and wondering, who's going to be my friend, right? And so recess can either be the best day of your, the best part of your day, or it can be the worst part of your day. It's kind of like lunch. You know, what's the worst part about eating lunch at school? Who are you going to sit with? I mean, and I remember being, you know, back when I was a kid, it was like, you know, who'd I sit next to? And, you know, we didn't have assigned seating, but it was terrifying. It was scary to have to think about sitting with people I didn't know. And I remember I went to the grade school from first through sixth with the same group of people, but then I went to junior high at a different school than the majority of the people I went to grade school, and guess what? It was terrifying until I found some friends. And so this morning, what we're going to talk about is the importance of recess for us as adults as well as kids. And Robert Putman is a man, I've read parts of his book. He wrote a book called Bowling Along. And he's a guy that studies, I think he's a sociologist, but he says this. He says, social capital has plummeted. Studies show, now listen to this and think about it. Studies show people belong to fewer organizations, know their neighbors less, meet with friends less frequently, socialize with our families less. He says this, we're even bowling along. More people are bowling, but they are not bowling in leagues. And he wrote this book about the trend of our culture where we crave relationships and yet we avoid relationships. I lived in Dallas for 13 years and flew into Dallas numerous times. And one of the things when you fly into Dallas, when you look down, all you see are swimming pools and privacy fences. I mean, unless you're in the country, you're going to have a hard time finding a house that doesn't have a privacy fence. And there's nothing wrong with them. We love ours, but here's what I found. When we lived in Dallas, I could literally park in my garage, drive to work, go into work, come home at the end of the day, drive back into my garage and never have to see a person on my street I didn't have to interact with anybody. And I could stay in, I could watch TV, I could go in my backyard and have what? Privacy. And while I valued it, I also crave relationships. It's a crazy, crazy thing. And too often, we don't understand how important life in the church is and how it should be. So I'm going to try to explain to you some things this morning that hopefully make sense. It may be against what you always think of when you think of going to church. But here's what I want you to understand. Life is better connected. Life is better connected. Church is better connected. I'd even say this about church. circles are better than rows. I mean, I'm glad you're here and you're sitting in a row, but a circle is better than a pew. And what I want you to understand is that as the body of Christ, we are called not to go and attend. We're really called to do life together. And you know, I'll be honest, I struggle with the word Sunday school. Oh, Brother Bill, you're stepping on sacred ground. Let me tell you something. When I think of school, I don't get excited. So you're going to send me to Sunday school? Yippee! Now, some of you called it that from the time you were born, but let me just tell you what, it doesn't bring a smile to my face to think about school. I don't even like Bible study. We have it not. I'm going to be honest. I don't like inviting people to come to Sunday school. I do it every week, put it on Facebook. You say, why, Brother Bill? I just hate the name. I'm being honest. I don't even like to call it Bible study. Why? Because I hated to study, you know, in school. In Garland, we called them Bible fellowships. That's better, you know. Still kind of a weird word. And then we used my favorite one. If you were to give me permission, I would love to call it, I see them as life groups. Because I believe in a group is where you get life. You give them the word, but listen, if you only give them the word and you don't give them your ear, it's worthless. It's life. Man, I tell you, it is life when you get in the small group world. But the trouble is so often, we don't know why we do what we do. I'm a Cradle Row graduate. When I started at First Baptist Denison, I was enrolled in the Cradle Row. And here's what it was like. I went to church every Sunday morning, and I went to Sunday school, and I went to church, and I went all the way through high school because you don't have a choice. And I'm glad I didn't have a choice, because let me just say this. If I didn't have a choice, I wouldn't have gone. Unless a pretty girl would have invited me. That's just being honest. I wouldn't have gone to church. So don't feel bad about making your kids, and if you don't, maybe you should. But anyway, I remember going all the way through high school, and then I went off to college in the 1980s, early 1980s, and I went out to college, and my first experience with a big church, and I went to a big church, and I loved the music. I loved the preaching. But I didn't want to go to Sunday school. Here's my reason. I didn't know anybody. And I was scared to death. I'm kind of a shy person. Once I get to know you, I'm okay. But until I get to know you, I'm going to church with people I've never seen in my life. In Denison, I grew up with those people, and I'm in Waco, Texas, and I was scared to death because I came from a small church, and so I guess what? I just quit going. But guess what? I was craving someone to invite me in a way that wasn't pressure. Well, I wanted to go, but I didn't want to walk into a room by myself. I didn't want to walk into a room not knowing anybody and not knowing if they were crazy or not. And so I literally didn't go. So I started a Bible study for some friends that were around me, and that helped. But I just wished at that church somebody would have invited me, but they never did. I don't know why. But what I'm saying is I did Sunday school, and I didn't ever know why. I just did it. So let me share with you three things. First thing I want you to understand is that it's not about, well, small groups are important. Sunday school is important. Whatever you want to call it, it's important for this reason. Loneliness is not good. In Genesis 1 and 2, we find the creation account. And when God created the world, He said, it is good. When He did this, He said, it's good. And on day 6, He said, it was very good. So He created a world that was great. It was awesome. And sin had not come into the world yet. And yet, in verse 18, look at what verse 18 says. And the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a companion who will help him. Now, I think that's incredible. Sin has not entered the world. The creation, according to God, is good and very good. And yet, when you get to verse 18, you see that God said that for the man to be alone, it was not good. Now, he was surrounded by every kind of animal you could have wanted. And yet, those animals were not able to relate to him, and the guy was lonely. You see, loneliness is a serious problem in our culture and even in our church. You can sit in this church and listen to me and all that and not know me. You can come to this church and literally never get to know anyone else very well. And you can be in a marriage, you can be in a church, you can be in a work job and be incredibly lonely. And that's not good. Loneliness is not good. John Ortberg is a pastor, and he wrote this comment. He says, What is striking is that the fall had not yet occurred. There is no sin, no disobedience, nothing to mar the relationship between God and man. The human being is in a state of perfect intimacy with God. Each word he and God speak with each other is filled with closeness and joy. He walks with God in the garden in the cool of the day. He is known and loved to the core of his being by his omniscient, love-filled creator. Yet the word God uses to describe him is alone. And God says this aloneness is not good. Now listen to this. Sometimes in church circles, when people feel lonely, we will tell them not to expect too much from human relationships, that there is inside every human being a God-shaped void, a void that no other person can fill. That is true. But apparently, according to the writer of Genesis, God created inside this man a kind of human-shaped void that God Himself will not fill. No substitute will fill this need in you for human relationship. Not money, not achievement, not busyness, not books, not even God Himself. Even though this man was in a state of sinless perfection, he was alone, and it was not good. God's perfect creation, sin's not entered the world, and the problem was loneliness. Henry Cloud, as a matter of fact, Henry's related to Sam. Henry Cloud, a Christian psychologist, said this, God created us with a hunger for relationships with Him and our fellow people. At the very core, we are relational beings. He goes on to say, the soul cannot prosper without being connected to others. In other words, God creates us with this need for relationships, not just being around something, deep, meaningful relationships. Whether you're a child at recess or a high schooler or an adult, you have within you a need that nothing else can meet besides relationships. I know the scripture teaches that, but you know what psychology teaches? I found this article, and I believe it's Psychology Today, and it says the dangers of loneliness. Friendship is a lot like food. We need it to survive. What is more, we seem to have a basic drive for it. Psychologists find that human beings have a fundamental need for inclusion in group life and for close relationships. He says this, we are truly social animals. You see, God says that being alone is not good, and it is actually, I hate to tell you this, it is actually detrimental to your health. If you don't have meaningful relationships, it literally is not good for you. I went online this week because I had heard this not too long ago, and an article where it says this. This is not a church preacher writing this. He says, loneliness has the same impact on mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes a day, making it even more dangerous than obesity. We talk about people eating too much. We talk about people smoking, needing to quit. But according to these articles, Sigma did this article, one of the dangers of today is loneliness. And he talks about in this article that some of the loneliest people today are the millennials. And not only the millennials, but the Generation Z group. And they have all the social media stuff that you could ask for to get connected. And yet one of the things they're finding is they're incredibly lonely. See, the thing I want you to see is that loneliness, whether you're a senior adult, a kid, a teenager, adult, loneliness is not good for you. But here's the good news. God created us with two things that can change all that and make life better. Two things can fill that God void we have, but also that people void. So here's the first one. The first one is Jesus. Jesus wants a relationship with you. I don't know how you came to Christ, but one of the things that didn't used to be expressed is that He just doesn't want to save you. He wants to know you. Jesus actually invites you into a relationship with Him. It's not something you did, you got saved, and that's it. No, He saved you, but He's also with you now. It is a relationship. And I didn't hear that growing up. It was all about missing hell and hitting heaven. And yet the Scripture teaches that Jesus Christ wants a relationship with us to fill that God void we have. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite verses is a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Listen to what it says. Listen to how beautiful this. And He is the one who invited you into this wonderful friendship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, salvation is not just about getting saved from your sin. It's about Jesus wants to walk with you and live with you daily. I mean, it's not something you did. It's something that's going on now. It's something that He's doing inside of you. And you know, my question this morning, and I'm not judging you, I just only know me. What's your relationship with Him? Is it daily? Is it once a month where you spend time? And I hate to say this, but this isn't the relationship I'm wanting you to have. The relationship I'm wanting you to have is with Him tomorrow when you wake up and you go through the day. You go with Him, not without Him. You see, Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. And it is the greatest blessing of knowing Christ. I mean, it's just not going to heaven. It's having Him with me. Now, I just didn't realize how wonderful that was until I moved up here. You say, well, why did you just really realize it here? Well, when I came to Mount Ida back in February, it was the first time that I've been separated from my wife for any significant period of time in forever. And I didn't have TV because I didn't have cable. She had the cable, so I sacrificed. And I got news for you. It's quiet up here. I told someone last night, I would have loved anything just to hear a party going on. I'm not even, not a Christian party. I'm talking silence. When our kids come, they go, Dad, it's so quiet up here. Yeah, And you know, when you sit in a room and you can hear your own heartbeat because there's no other noise. I mean, you know. And but really, in my personal life, that was a great growing time. I didn't have any excuses for I didn't have time for God. It was me, the dogs, and nobody else but God. I could either talk to the dogs, which I did that some, or I could spend time with God and He could talk to me. But let me tell you what, it was a meaningful time in my life personally because I had nothing else. I mean, y'all were good, but I was still scared of you. You know, y'all were First Baptist Mount Ida. But here's the thing I want you to see. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't just want to save you from your sins. He wants to go with you to work tomorrow. John 15:5 says this. Jesus said this. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What is he talking about? Jesus is saying, if you have a relationship with me, if you have a friendship with me, I will produce fruit in your life. Not going to church, people, spending time with Jesus will produce fruit in your life. So the question is he producing fruit in my life? Am I spending time with him? Is Sunday the only day I talk to him? Or when I'm in trouble or when I need something? You see, Jesus created you to have a relationship with you, not just to talk to you ever so often. Third thing. Here's where I'm going to step on something. Everybody needs a small group. Everybody needs each other. That's the whole New Testament. That's Acts. Go read Acts. Big revival broke out. They had 3,000 saved. What did they do? They started meeting in small groups. You can't like me or hate me until you know me. And you only know me from up here as I want you to know me from up here. But you can learn about me that I'm just like you if you're around me. I struggle just like you do. I had a horrible evening yesterday about 2 to 6 o'clock watching my team lose, Baylor. It was awful. I'm normal. You say, Bill, that's not very spiritual. No, it wasn't. They ought to do better than that. Everybody needs relationships. Everybody needs relationships that are spiritual. Jesus didn't invest in the crowd, people. He preached to the crowd. He invested in a group of 12. You see, things happen. As every church gets bigger, it has to get smaller at the same time. I mean, it is just imperative that we have connection. And listen, that proverb that is so true for your kid is true for you. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers much harm. Let me tell you what. I can almost guarantee you're either spiritually mature or struggling by who you hang around with. You hang around good, godly people, you'll get better. If you hang around lukewarm or struggling people, unless you're real strong, but I think you're not going to get as good. It's true for your kids, but it's true for you and me. Who you hang around with is so vitally. Your spiritual growth depends on those you hang around with, those you get to know. You see, we have this thing, and I hate the word Sunday school. I've already told you. And one of my goals will be to evolve that into something else. I just don't like the word because here's what I found. Sunday school, which is a small group, which in my opinion is a life group, is the most important thing in my spiritual life. You know one of the things I like, Rick Warren, and I like Andy Stanley? Do you know both those guys are mega church pastors, but do you know both those guys go to small groups in their church? Why? Well, I've heard their testimonies. because they need friendships. One of the misnomers is that pastors don't need friends. I went out to Clayton and his house last night, and his wife, they had us all out there, and I was suffering through the Baylor game and trying not to be rude and every few minutes look at my phone, not to see if I was getting a text, but to see if there was a miracle happening on the Brazos. Didn't. But we had two life groups, Sunday school classes, meet, and we had a blast. They live out on Chigger Hill. And you just don't accidentally go to their house. But I'm telling you, it was beautiful. And you know, we had two Sunday schools there, and it was a blast. I was up all night with heartburn, Mexican food. But you know, what do? I didn't even want to play a game. We just sat around and talked and on the porch and inside. And you say, is that spiritual? I think so. Sometimes it's not. But the relationships are, and who you hang around determines what you become. And you need people. You don't need to go at life alone. You need more than just a Sunday school class. You need a life group, a group of people. Listen, tonight, it's not about just wanting to play games. It's wanting to get to know you and to get to know each other. And, you know, if our church, we can build a big church and not have that, but you know what it'll be? It'll be an empty church on the inside. Relationships, spiritual relationships are essential. Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10 says this, two people can accomplish more than twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But people who are alone when they fall are in real trouble. And on a cold night, two under the same blanket can gain warmth from each other, but how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. There is, as you grow closer as Christians, if you tell me you don't need it, besides I could show you 1,000 scriptures where you're wrong, it's you don't want it. Why? Because it will. Listen, it's no fun cussing up a storm when another person in the room's saying bad words. Now, I had friends when I came into the church, I would slip. And I didn't just slip, I really slipped. They didn't go, oh, you just said a bad word. No, they didn't even mention it. But guess what? After a while, it's not much fun to cuss by yourself in a group. It's just not, is it? Try it sometime. And so, oh, it's, I don't want, I, you know, listen, if you don't think I've heard a few words, you're wrong. But it's not near as much fun. It's not fun to tell dirty jokes in a group that doesn't laugh at dirty jokes, right? I mean, they'll still love you. We're not going to say, hey, you just told a dirty joke. It's just, you know. The guys that had an influence on me that changed my life are people who just loved me in spite of me. And it's called discipleship. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, think of ways. Now get this. Don't think of things to criticize about. Think of ways to encourage one another, to outburst of love and good deeds. Your small group ought to be a place where you get excited and try to challenge each other to love and do good deeds. And then it says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of His coming back again is drawing near. You see, when those words were written, the writer of Hebrews was writing to a group of Christians who were being persecuted, and slowly the Jewish people were pushing the Christians in the early church out of the temple. And so the only place they could learn about Jesus back then was in small groups that were meeting, and they were starting to persecute those small groups that were meeting. So guess what? They quit meeting. And so the writer of Hebrews says, listen, guys, you need a small group. It's where you get better together. And we're not going to discourage you. We want to encourage you to be a part of a small group. Why? Because that's where you grow. Here's what happens. I've seen it happen a million times. First of all, you get out of the habit of going. You're either in the habit of going to a small group or not going to a small group. Right? No, there are some that have never been to a small group, so that's even more scary. But you're either, and what happens, I watched this happen to my parents' life, is their health. They got out of the habit. Then when they could go, it was hard because they were out of the habit. And I understand that. You can get out of the habit. But there's a second ring. Some of you are new and a little shy like me and a little concerned about what goes on. I mean, think about it. Someone who's new, now you people have lived here all your life, it's no big deal, but oh, we want you to walk into that room and they're going to close the door. What are they going to do to me? Is he going to ask hard questions? And so there's some of you like me in college that, you know, it was too scary, so I just didn't. And then there's some of you that have never been to a small group, ever. So what in a crud is a small group? What in a crud is Sunday school? What in a crud is this or that? You don't know. And I can't answer all your questions. I will just say this. I understand all three of those answers. But I'm here to tell you as your friend, as a pastor, at a distance where you can't, you know, interact with me, every single one of you here, including me, I don't really teach when I sit in there with a group. And we're going through Philippians, and it's Rick Warren teaching, and I'm enjoying it as much as they are. Every single one of us here this morning need a small group. We need a, I like the word better, we need a life group. Because that's what your Sunday school class is. It gives you life, or it should. And I'm always looking to start new ones. And Wednesday night, we just don't open the doors and turn on the air or the heat just to have fun. We eat. We have an incredibly good meal for whatever you can donate. And then we have stuff for the kids, and we've had a ton of kids, and we've got stuff for the youth. And then in 2 weeks, you're going to have a choice. You can go with a group of men, or you can listen to me in a mixed group. It's your choice. And it's still a small group. It's not a service. Sunday nights, they're Bible study. We sit around round tables. What's funny is after we're done, there's people still sitting around round tables, still having Bible discussion. It's not pressure. If you want to go home, you can. But everybody needs that. And you don't just need to attend. You need to be a part. You need to go to a thing like last night and find out what the interest of other people. I know most of the people that were there last night. A little bit about their lives. And to have a church family, you got to know each other. The warts, some of you say, well, you don't want to know me. Yeah, I do. Church is not meant to be a lonely place. And so we started Wednesday night. These guys said, we just want to have a Bible study. And so I said, good, you can do it while I'm doing mine. And if we have more people want to have Bible small groups, guess what? We will. I'm not intimidated by that. Because here's what I know. Circles are better than rows. It says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest fields. I've just been asking God to do two things. To help us build a church that is built on people having a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, and two, to have a church where everyone is connected in small groups of some sort, life groups, Sunday school, whatever you want to call it, that everyone would understand how vitally that is important to your spiritual growth. And not only just that, that we would start to form in the future small groups in our community that maybe never darken the doors of our church. Because you see, people, when people, there's something about a small group or something wonderful happens. So do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And do you have a small group? If you don't have a small group, I'll take you in mine. There's other classes as well. They'll take you. And if there's enough of you, we'll start another one. Why? Because small groups are important. It's the lifeblood of the church. Everyone needs one, including your pastor. So, recess is important for adults, just like it is for kids.